Please welcome Gina Whitaker.
Last month was my first time, and I was nervous, and I said, I'm really nervous, and that made me feel less nervous, so I'm saying it again. I get 3 months to be nervous, and then so unexpected consequences. The year is 1968, and I am a wild child. I moved around quite a lot after high school for about those first 5 years. I went from LA, Santa Barbara, to LA, to Big Sur, lived in cabins in the woods, and kind of landed in San Francisco in the summer of love. Wild child meets flower child. I lived next to the San Francisco Zen Center. If some of you know San Francisco, you'll know that's in the Haight-Ashbury. And I lived in a third floor of an old crumbling Victorian. I'm not even sure if it really was a flat or not, but we lived up there, this roommate and me. And we lived, and we had no kitchen sink. We used to wash our dishes in the big clawfoot bathtub. And my roommate was kind of interesting. She didn't speak very often, but she would sit in the middle of the big room on the wood floor all day. She would surround herself with huge pieces of white rice paper, and she would draw an infinite number of perfect black circles on the paper, each one big circle, with her Japanese calligraphy brush and her brick paint, which she ground. Some of you know about that. I think it's a kind of meditation. And she would just do that all day. So I lived up there on that third floor in Haight-Ashbury in the summer of love and into 1968. And I was working. I had a job in a medical lab delivering and picking up lab samples and blood and stuff. And I went down to the Zen Center a few times a month and sat and tried to learn how to meditate. But mostly I was just a member of that girls just want to have fun club. And I would take any opportunity at all to take any kind of trip there was. Car trip, road trip, drug trip, whatever. So one weekend, important. Wild child lifestyle often leads to unexpected consequences. One weekend, a guy I didn't know very well, but that didn't matter, dropped by and came through town and said, hey, why don't we go on down to Mexico? I've got to go to San Diego and we can stop there and then we'll go down to Baja, chill it for a few days. I said, sure, why not? Spontaneous, you know, I'm always up for the trip. So we jumped in his camper van, camper truck, and he and his dog and I start rolling down the road. Well, we got to La Jolla, California, late that first night, and that's where he was going to participate and actually present in a workshop at the Wishing Well Hotel, which was operating as a human potential movement seminar place called Kairos. And at Kairos, you know, it was kind of like an Esalen Institute South, right? Some of you know about Esalen up in Big Sur. Well, this was Kairos down in La Jolla. And it was kind of a place where a lot of rich, white, straight people came to get their heads on crooked, you know? Yeah, so he was going to do this workshop, and I was just going to hang out, and then we would leave on Monday and go down to Mexico. So we bedded down in the camper, and the next morning I woke up to an empty bed, and he was already inside starting the workshop. And his dog was bouncing around the camper and wanting to get out and wanting to be fed. So I opened the door, the back door of the camper, and came out into a beautiful sun-filled parking lot with eucalyptus trees surrounding the property, swaying in the breeze, and blue, blue sky. It was so blue. It was a beautiful day. And the dog was jumping around looking for his food, so I brought the sack of food out and his bowl, and I was squatting down, dishing out his food into his bowl when I heard a motor start up. And I looked, and there was a very big interstate restaurant supply truck which had just done a delivery and was kind of beginning to manipulate to get out of the parking lot. And I looked over and I said, yeah, he's got plenty of room. And I went back to dishing out the dog food. Well, that was a misjudgment. And that misjudgment cost me some very unexpected consequences. Suddenly, everything went black. And I felt as though my body were being tumbled and dragged, and I couldn't figure out what was happening. And there was a lot of noise, there was kind of a roar and a kind of a roughness to everything. And I was really thinking, I heard myself thinking, what's going on here? What's happening? You know, what's going on? And my eyes wouldn't open, and I kept trying to open my eyes, and I was trying to open my eyes really hard, and I couldn't open my eyes. And I just, my mind was just racing, and I was thinking, trying to put it together, trying to figure out what was going on. And I thought maybe I had gone back into the truck and gone to sleep again and was dreaming. And I kept saying in my mind, this is a horrible dream. Help me wake up. And why can't I wake up? And I kept going back and forth like that in my mind for a long time. It seemed everything was running in slow motion. And then suddenly, I thought, okay, if I can't wake up and I can't open my eyes, I must be dead. That's what I thought. At that precise moment, my eyes opened. And there above me was the blue sky. I saw the trees waving in the wind. I heard a dog barking, and I looked my focus closer to my face, and I saw that I was underneath the truck. And then the pain started. I became aware of people above my head moving around and talking and trying to figure out how to rescue me. I wasn't pinned under the wheel. The wheel had gone completely over me. And I was screaming at that point in pain. The pain was these electrical, tingling, super strong electrical shocks running up and down my legs. And I was really scared. Just before they gave me the morphine and I kind of floated away, I heard a man's voice in a thick Scottish accent say, "I don't think she's going to make it." About months and months of surgery and rehab and pain ensued. I spent 3 full months in Scripps Hospital, one of the best hospitals on the West Coast, and I thought that was really ironic because I was a vagrant hippie with no money, but my doctors were really awesome, and they told the administration, if you move her to San Diego General, she will not walk again. So they convinced them to keep me there. So I spent 3 months at Scripps. There was a lot of pain. I was always complaining. I hadn't learned about gratitude at that time in my life. I was screaming and complaining all the time. The physical therapist would come in and run me through my exercises and make me do stuff that really hurt. And I would just be screaming and cussing. And about 5 floors of patients at Scripps knew my voice after I was there for 3 months. But I had some wonderful doctors. I had one doctor, he was an orthopedic surgeon, and he was from the South, Dr. McMurray. And he would come in and I would start yelling at him about, when am I going to get out of here? This is ridiculous. I'm here too long. I don't want to be here anymore. What's up? You know? And he would just look at me and say in his Southern accent, honey, you broke your flagpole. You aren't going anywhere for a while. So I watched Robert Kennedy get assassinated on television in my room that summer. And I felt like my body and the world were broken. So I didn't ever know if I was going to walk upright again, but I did. And somehow I wasn't really fully cognizant of how serious my injuries were. I think I didn't realize how close to death I had come until much later in my life. I never doubted once, though, that I would make a full recovery, and I did. So maybe the power of that thought, that denial, or that ignorance was helpful. But in preparing for this story the other day, I decided to search on the internet and see if Kairos was still there in La Jolla at the Wishing Well Hotel. And of course it wasn't, but in the process, I learned what Kairos meant. The word Kairos is a Greek word, and it means supreme moment, opportune time, or opportune moment when something really important is going to happen, or happens. And I felt as though my near-death experience, my darkest moment, became and was transformed into my Kairos moment of unexpected consequences.